WGN Radio, Terry Savage joins us on Wednesdays. Hi, Terry.
Hello. Another crazy day.
Well, it's not as crazy as it's been if you're just looking at the indices. Why are you describing today as crazy?
Because it's the market's swirling in upon itself, and I was kind of fascinated today. I usually don't have time to sit around and watch CNBC all morning, but I did today. I got up very early. I was doing television. And so I've had it on in the background, and everybody's hedging their bets. I think you introduced me earlier as saying we're going to talk about a hurricane. You know, that wasn't my word, but it is the headline word of today because it is Jamie Dimon's word, the head of Chase Bank, who just a couple of weeks ago said, I see storm clouds on the horizon. And today, or yesterday, I guess late yesterday, he upgraded it to there could be a hurricane. And that's, when Jamie Dimon speaks, the market listens.
Yeah. He said now he's going to be very conservative in their balance sheet. So I wonder what he's doing and what should we do?
So the bank, first, this is really interesting. You could draw a line down the middle of the paper and make an argument for the Fed will solve this. The economy is strong. We just had this jobs report. There's still plenty of jobs out there. The consumer has credit, open credit, and has savings left over from, you know, the stimulus payments, and all will be well. And on the other side, you get things like, oh no, the consumer isn't doing so well. The consumer has increased charges on credit cards. The consumer has a lot of these payment plans, you know, Klarna and so forth, I've written about them, where you have the option to pay over 4 or 10 periods. And those aren't officially credit, so they can't, they're non-recourse. So if you just say, well, I made 2 payments, sorry, I can't, I lost my job or something, they can't come after you. So there's a lot of consumer debt out there. Consumers are shifting from buying cars and houses, which are too expensive, to going on trips, which is also pretty expensive. And the question is, how will the economy go, given inflation is here and the Fed cannot fix it this summer? That's a fact. There's going to be energy price increases going on with Russia and OPEC. There's going to be food price increases happening as supplies are disrupted all over the world because Ukraine can't get its grain out or grown or out.
Mm-hmm.
And so this is one of those moments where it's like on the one hand and on the other hand. Now, what should you do to be smart? Let's talk about that today. But being in debt and sitting back on your haunches and saying, well, it's summer, I'm not going to look for a job right now, or I'm retired and I think I'll make it through without getting a part-time job, those are all not good options.
But I don't think that the word hurricane is all that instructive. I mean, so is he saying, what does that mean? 2007? Does it mean something like we saw in the 1980s? Does it mean something we've never seen before? What is he talking about?
History repeats, but never exactly. Otherwise, I've been around long enough that I would be able to say, well, this and this will happen. But it was pretty obvious that we were going to get inflation when the Fed kept pumping all that money into the economy, giving the government basically a free check to hand out money or to do things. Yes, that happened because of the pandemic. The point is we're facing it now. And the Fed doesn't, always before, ever since Paul Volcker said, we will not have inflation, I will do whatever it takes, and he raised the prime rate to 21%, mortgage rates to 15%, sent the economy into a steep recession with double-digit unemployment. Everybody got that message for 40 years. Now everybody knows the Fed doesn't have a real idea of what's going on or how to fix it, or they would have started sooner, not assumed it was transitory. Then throw in politics, an election in 6 months. Oh my goodness, who knows what, whether it's going to be a Category 1 tropical storm or a real hurricane. I think that was Jamie Dimon's assessment, and he was just saying, you're better off if you're prepared. Mm. Prepared with not a lot of debt, some savings, and a job that you think you'll be able to count on for the next economic downturn.
Well put, 1216. Okay, so 312-981-7200. You've got a question, a comment, an observation. Terry Savage on the Wintrust Business Lunches talking to us about, well, just a moment ago, what Jamie Dimon said, the hurricane financially that is coming and why that bank is positioning itself so conservatively. And Terry had some ideas for you, too. It sounds like you largely agree with his assessment, Terry.
You know, about 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe it was on Lisa's afternoon show, I said, having a couple of weeks in a row, been kind of cautionary and concerned and trying to advise people about exposure to the stock market and to a belief that the good times would keep happening. I said, I don't want to be a Debbie Downer. And I got a terribly scathing email from someone who says, don't associate my name with such a negative attitude. Her name was Debbie.
Oh, yeah.
So I know I've been conservative now. It's just kind of a time marker. For the last month or 6 weeks, when I've seen that so much is going on, globally, I mean, it's just Europe has an inflation problem too. Europe has an energy problem too. OPEC isn't going to be able to solve the problems, and the Russia issue is really going to continue. And they can't ship food, grain grown in Ukraine. Even if they could grow it, they can't get it out their ports. And all of that's going to put upward pressure on inflation over the summer, no matter what the Fed does. In fact, it might make the Fed do more, and that it will slow the economy. I mean, it'll be more abrupt. So, yeah, this is a time for caution.
Okay, everybody has their own individual circumstances, and we sometimes don't have access to all of the details. But 630's texted in, with a decrease in stock values, is now a good time to convert from an IRA to a Roth for a 60-year-old, the advantage being paying less in taxes now. What do you say to that generally, Terry?
Well, I think I can tell you for sure, the absolute perfect time to convert to a Roth is when the market is at the bottom. Because, yes, it means the value of your account is at its lowest level. And when you do the conversion, there'll be less money to pay taxes on. And then, of course, at the bottom, by definition, it's always going to go up. So you'll have that all tax-free growth. The question is, when is the bottom? Right? I mean, I was being funny, if you didn't get it.
No, but I mean, it's bottom enough. But it's bottom enough, right? I mean, so maybe...
wait, John. Right now, we've had a little bit of a rebound. Let's check the markets right now. We've had a little bit of a rebound. But do you know that this is the bottom? Because I don't, that we made the bottom last week even, I don't. Today we're at, call it 32,700-ish, down 250 points. The market lows in 2020, I recall, were about 27,000-something, maybe even a little lower. I mean, in hindsight, you would have converted on that day of panic in spring of 2020. But I don't, you know, yes, it's a better time than it was.
Well, there you go.
I don't know if it's the best time. But I don't know if it's the best time.
Yeah, but and I mean, by the way, why aren't you counseling people to not be so greedy? That is, because maybe the market goes up.
Because we should be greedy.
All right,
greed is good.
But you also say that you can't pick the bottom,
so pick a spot and be comfortable with it.
Yeah,
I'm going to give you a suggestion.
Okay.
Since we don't know, you don't have to convert your entire IRA at once. You can convert a portion of your IRA to a Roth.
Mm.
So if you have $312,000 now, well, take $125,000 and roll that over to a Roth, pay the taxes on it. Think about, you're at 60, so it's not going to impact your Medicare. It will impact your taxes, go on top of your ordinary income, may push you into a slightly higher bracket, but relatively speaking, we are at historically relatively low tax brackets. So yeah, I wouldn't argue about a Roth conversion now. I just think you might want to only convert a third of it.
Yeah, right. Dollar cost average on the way down, so to speak. Chip a little in each time. How about this? Ron had a question for you. You're on WGN. Ron, how can we help you?
Hi. I'm still waiting from the IRS on my unemployment income adjustment.
Yeah. Okay. I haven't talked to them in a while because I haven't had very many questions. It doesn't surprise me. You filed and paid taxes on the first $10,200 of unemployment benefits, and you're waiting for that refund. Have I got it correct? I would suggest go to terrysavage.com, and there's in the four boxes on the right side, there's a thing called ID Me, how to create your own account at the IRS. And I would suggest, I'm just trying to find this. Yep, is it still up there? Open an IRS ID Me account, little box under financial links and resources. Use that. Set up your account. See where it stands with them. It doesn't surprise me that they haven't paid it out yet. They are still way behind. They issued a press release today saying they're trying to hire 4,000 people to interface with the public.
Are they still using facial recognition on that ID?
No, they're not. They got reamed out for that. That's sort of like the same thing as Facebook settlement. So they're not doing that. So you can create carefully, securely, a link through the link in that article.
That's
you can
interesting.
Create your own
good
account.
Question, Ron. Good luck to you, Nick. You're on WGM with Terry Savage. How can we help you, Nick?
Hey, John. Hey, Terry. I appreciate the time.
Yeah.
So interesting situation. Father just turned 60. Unfortunately, due to mental and physical disability, had to close the small family business out in Des Plaines. Little to no savings or retirement, honestly, if at all. He's going to be collecting disability. What suggestions do you have, Terry, as best to save or plan financially for our dad going forward, who's pretty much going to be just collecting disability and unable to work?
Well, there are going to be a lot of other programs offered by the state of Illinois. So I wish I could remember that link, but just look for assistance for the elderly in Illinois or disability assistance in Illinois. He will probably qualify for what we used to call food stamp SNAP benefits. He will have an insurance issue, although when he's on disability, he'll get Medicare. That won't cover everything. So you should look into what else will cover the uncovered Medicare costs. Probably he will be in a Medicare Advantage plan. And basically, in addition to saving for your own retirement, you folks are going to have to think about how you're going to supplement his income every month if that's not enough. Is he going to move in with you? Is he going to stay in his home if he's capable of it and do a reverse mortgage? He's a little young for that, won't get a lot of money. His living situation should come first. And then you and your brothers and sisters should say, well, one of you has two kids going into college. One of you doesn't have a very high-paying job. How are you going to deal with this? Because this is you are your father's keeper here.
Right.
Thank God. Thank God. I know from your question that you know that responsibility. But I would check with the state of Illinois and see what other senior benefits are available. There are more.
Okay. Perfect. Appreciate it.
Mm-hmm. Boy, I wish you had a better answer than that, but I mean that is the answer for that family. It's Terry, lots of calls and texts, but I also want to ask you about VA mortgages. You posted about that today.
Yes, that's my most recent post on terrysavage.com. It doesn't apply to everyone, but with mortgage rates rising, the headline on this is, first of all, VA mortgages are about almost 0.5% lower on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage than a conventional loan. If you were ever in the service, honorably discharged, it doesn't matter if you used it many years ago, your VA eligibility, you can use it again and again and over. And in addition to having a lower rate, they have a zero down payment, and they have no PMI, which is the insurance that protects the lender. There are fees, but it's really something to look into. I know Chase Bank has a program now where not only are they doing VA loans, but they have kind of grants to some people to help pay down those fees. So look at the column at terrysavage.com. There's a link to the Chase VA specialist, a guy I've used for all my articles on VA loans, Daniel Chukasian. He's a mortgage banker at Chase. And I just in case someone's still trying to buy a home out there and you were ever in the military, you or your spouse, or if you're a widow, by all means, take a look into a VA mortgage. It makes sense now with rates rising. They're lower.
708 texted in, how much of this ridiculous inflation do you think is price gouging?
Well, inflation's always price gouging. I don't want to pay more for anything. But if the cost of transporting your broccoli from wherever it grows, where does broccoli grow? California, Mexico?
Yeah, sure.
If they truck that broccoli in a refrigerated truck all the way to your Jewel in the store near you, and the price of gas or diesel, for instance, has doubled, don't you think the price of broccoli ought to go up? Now, is that price gouging?
No, that's legitimate.
But that's not because there's some kind of evil cabal in the broccoli world.
No.
Nor is there an evil cabal, frankly, in the gas station world.
Terry, the implication is that people are taking more money than they have to. They go, gas price is up, so rather than charging you 10 more cents, I'm going to charge you 30 more cents and keep the extra 20.
Watch this. Now, I have to buy broccoli every week, and you can't really stockpile broccoli. But I know there are a lot of smart people out there who have started to think, if the price of everything is going up, let's take chicken, because you can store that in your freezer probably for a year. I have. You can buy, you go, oh my goodness, have you seen the price of chicken? I'm going to buy, Jewel's having a sale. I'm going to buy packages and packages of it because I know that it's going to go up every week. And that you can store. So is it hoarding for you to buy four times as much chicken breast as you would have before because you think right now the prices are low, you can afford to put it in your freezer and save it. That's no more hoarding or bad behavior than it is for a company that has higher costs to pass them on immediately.
That's okay, Terry, but some people, I don't mind you passing along the cost. Why should you go broke? But I also don't want you to take advantage of this situation and make more money than maybe you were before the fuel prices went up. Maybe that's pure capitalism and you get to charge however much you want, but some people feel like they're being taken advantage of right now.
You're not taken advantage of if you don't fall for it.
Well, I got to buy chicken. I got to buy gas. So what options do I have? I want to know what the underlying profit motive is for these people. Are they making too much money?
Profit motive is a bad word.
Terry, you are not hearing the question. The question is, are these people, I hate to use the word unduly, but you know what price gouging is. Is this price gouging or is this a pass-through that's legitimate and fair?
I think price gouging is when you have a grocery store in the inner city that can buy from the wholesaler but knows people can't walk or take a bus, or they've got to shop at their local store, and they raise the prices unconscionably. Yeah, I agree that price gouging exists. It's people taking advantage of a unique position in the marketplace to be the only provider of something, and then to charge excess.
Okay, but this isn't that scenario.
Writ large, it is that scenario. But the truth is that every gas station owner who owns the local corner, whatever it is, mobile or franchisee that owns that, it is passing along the cost of gasoline that is given to him by the refiners. The refiners are passing along the gas. And yet, you know what? The stocks of the energy companies have gone up a lot because they're making more money. And you know what? They're not reinvesting it in digging wells or exploring because they've been told not to by all the institutional investors who say, if we don't invest in oil, and have said this for the last 2 years, if we don't invest in oil, if we don't give them capital to do more investments in oil, to dig more wells, to run more pipelines, then we'll have to be forced into using other kind of sources of energy that are more environmentally friendly. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So now we're seeing the result of that.
This is Susan on line two with Terry Savage. You're on WGN, Sue.
Hi, how are you?
We're good. What's your question?
I actually had a question. My son has been asking me. He's working from home remotely. He's early 30s. It's just part-time right now because it's hard, I guess, to get something. What's something he's been asking that he could invest in a little bit? He doesn't have a ton of money, but he's just thinking that that's a good thing to do.
Okay. Well, first of all, Susan, the first thing he should invest in is himself. Did you say he's working at home remotely because he can't get a better job? Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Number one, this is a very sweet moment in time. There's a demand for smart people, and presumably he is smart because he's sitting there working. He needs to spend, starting tomorrow morning, looking online at monster.com, at other job sites, really going out of his way to find a better paying job because now he's in demand. I think in a matter of 3 or 4 months, by November, by Thanksgiving, we'll be saying, oh my goodness, I wish I had pushed for a job when people were trying to find smart workers like me. So his number one investment.
Now, Terry, that sounds good, and I will tell him that because he is looking. But do you think you could still find something good like that remotely, or would it have to you'd have to go out? Because at the moment, he doesn't have a car, and it's so hard to get one now.
You can apply online. Almost every corporation is allowing people to work from home 2 or 3 days a week, some full-time, depending on the job. So you'll never know until you ask. And then when he makes more money, he should open a Roth IRA. He's not making enough to need a deduction. Call 1-800-FIDELITY or Vanguard and put a little bit of money away every month in the Standard & Poor 500 stock index fund in a Roth IRA. That's what he should do with his extra money.
Okay. That's great. I'm so glad that you were able to help me. He'll be thrilled that he's got something because I wasn't sure and I don't want to tell him the wrong thing.
That's what he should do.
Susan, good call. You're a good mom and our best to your son. And we always appreciate your help too, Terry. We're out of time.
Thank you. I'll see you next week.
That's Terry Savage. You can read her stuff and find all of those helpful links at terrysavage.com. And remember too that We always post these segments as a podcast at WGNRadio.com. So if you miss something or if you want to share something with somebody, tell them to go to WGNRadio.com. Click on the Wintrust Business Lunch, and later today, there will be a podcast of this conversation. We've got more business news for you now. Here's Steve Grzanich.
Start your timer. It's time for the Wintrust Business Minute, sharing Chicago's business news of the day. A partial evacuation of the Rivian automotive plant in downstate Normal over the weekend is being blamed on a defective battery pack that caught fire. Crane says the fire happened in the area of the plant where battery packs are tested for the company's electric vehicles. Rivian says the only damage was to the battery pack, a carrier, and the test booth equipment. No injuries were reported. The company says the battery pack had been identified as faulty before the fire. Rivian is now investigating the cause of that defect. Taste of Chicago is back on the calendar in Chicago this year after it went virtual because of the pandemic in 2020 and was held as a series of pop-ups last year. This year's Taste will be held July 8th through the 10th in Grant Park. 30 food vendors will take part, and there'll be a series of free concerts as well. You won't have to buy tickets this year. Attendees will pay for the food at each vendor via cash or credit card. I'm Steve Grzanich, and that's your Wintrust Business Minute.
We've got the business of food and Steve Alexander.
Yes, sir. Let's go to the food-related market news right now. At the Chicago Board of Trade, it's another losing day for corn and wheat. Corn is down 21 cents now at $7.32 per bushel. That's down nearly a dollar in the past month. And wheat right now is trading down about 42 cents at $10.45. Beans are an outlier. They're up about a dime right now. You know, we are just a week away from Porkapalooza.
Absolutely. We're working hard at gearing up and getting ready for a great show for everyone to see the latest and greatest in the industry.
It isn't actually called Porkapalooza. It's called the World Pork Expo, and Doug Fricke is with the National Pork Producers Council.
Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, it's June 8, 9, and 10. We've got a great show lined up. It's at the Iowa State Fairgrounds in Des Moines, Iowa. More than 400 companies that are exhibiting in over 700 booths at the show.
There will be learning.
We have a seminar series that's put together by National Pork Board called Pork Academy, as well as business seminars put on by various companies. And it's always a little more comfortable when you hear other people that are in your industry talking about things.
One of the hot topics, as it is whenever pork people get together, will be biosecurity, how to keep the swine flu and other diseases away. And to even get into the Pork Expo, you'll have to go through a biosecurity checkpoint that includes a foot bath.
We obviously ask folks to follow their biosecurity measures that they may have on their farm, but we also ask that they follow measures that we have on site.
The Pork Expo is always one of Orion's favorite stops. Over 10,000 people are expected this year. I wonder if there's anywhere they can get a pork sandwich.
Yeah, we'll have McDonald's handing out sandwiches each morning on Wednesday and Thursday for breakfast. And then we have the big grill where we serve lunch each day. All of that's complimentary. If you go out hungry, you miss something.
And if you buy your tickets by tomorrow, you'll get a 50% discount. Go to worldpork.org to read all about it. From the farm to your belly, today is National Hazelnut Cake Day. It's National Olive Day. And in case something gets stuck, it's National Heimlich Maneuver Day. That's the business of food on 720 WGN.
Here's something else to do. Uptown's Art Week. Let's talk a little bit about that with Greg Carroll. Greg, this is John. You're on WGN. How are you?
I'm well, John. Thanks for having me.
This is the third annual Uptown Art Week, right?
That is correct. Yeah, it was an event that started with the pandemic in 2020 as we were really looking to bring people out in a safe and positive way out in the neighborhood to experience some public art.
So you were able to pull that off? You guys had it in person, if you will, outdoors last year or in 2020?
We did. Yeah, we started it. It started as an in-person event in 2020. And because it was outdoors and it kind of spread out all over the neighborhood, it was really, like I said, kind of a safe way for people to come out of their homes. You know, everyone was feeling so isolated and they could come out and experience existing art. And then we were also that first year putting up lots of new art murals around the neighborhood as well. And so we've kind of continued to build on that. And it's, you know, in 2021, added the Uptown Art Fair. And this year we're adding even more events.
Is there a market? Do I buy artwork as well?
You can. So we are doing a two-day Uptown Art Fair this weekend, June 4th and 5th, where we're going to have over 30 vendors that will be selling art and jewelry and all kinds of good things. So people can stop by between 10 to 4 to check that out. So you can actually see the art and buy it if you like it.
So we're talking the 4600 block of North Broadway, right?
That's right. Yep. So that's kind of the central part of where a lot of the activity is going to be happening this year. Outside of the art fair, we're actually going to have a beer garden that's going to be going on both days. And then there's going to be over 70 new works of art that are going to be painted live on Broadway between Sunnyside and Leland. So Wilson and Broadway is kind of right at the center of that.
Oh, really? I'll watch artists actually creating things, huh?
You can, yeah. So we're having lots of artists. Some are painting directly on pieces of buildings like the Aldi down at Broadway and Sunnyside and the old Majestic store building at Leland and Broadway. But then we're going to have about 50 artists in between those two locations that are going to be painting live just kind of on A-frame plywood signs. So you can kind of stroll up and down Broadway and see the art being painted live. And eventually those are going to be posted for as public art up on the walls of Graceland Cemetery here in Uptown.
So like some of the neighborhood festivals, you show up, you kind of stroll around, maybe you have a beverage or something to eat, maybe you buy something, maybe you don't. That's kind of how we do this, right?
Exactly. It's that classic Chicago Summerfest.
Yeah. And so that's the week is June 1st through June 5th, but this market that we're talking about, this part of the festival, is going to be Saturday and Sunday, 10 to 4 in Uptown.
That's correct. And we're doing it indoors. So eventually you might move it to an outdoor fest, but this year we're keeping it indoors to a really great historical building called the Gerber Building right there at Wilson and Broadway. So people might notice got the Uptown Station old sign and clock on it right underneath the Wilson L. But eventually the Chicago market's going to be moving in there, which is a cooperative market. But while it's mostly vacant, they're gracious enough to let us come in and use the space for our two-day art fair.
Okay, yeah, to be clear then, so this the market that we're talking about is actually going to be indoors at that building then, is that it?
Exactly, with the option to pop outside for the beer garden right outside on the sidewalk.
Yeah, I think you're going to have good weather too. You're getting lucky on
this. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, lately it's either been too hot or it's been raining and cold. So 4620 North yep. Broadway, lots of street parking is available in that neighborhood and nearby. It's sponsored by Uptown United and the Uptown Chamber of Commerce, and it's this weekend, and it's actually underway right now with the week and then the weekend with the market. Oh, good on you.
Exactly.
So, to find out more, I'm going to click on where?
You can go to exploreuptown.org. You can see a full calendar of events. You can see the highlights. You can see a day-by-day breakdown of what's happening. As you mentioned, it starts today. We've got some exciting things happening. Lots of local businesses and organizations are also getting in on the fun and adding their own offerings, opening their doors for some art exhibitions, offering things for families to participate in as well. So lots to check out.
That's Greg Carroll, Director of Partnerships and Events in Uptown. Greg, let's visit again. Good luck. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, John. You too.